CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bassler. Hotel Mars, Episode N. David Livingston, Dr. Space himself of the Space Show, is my colleague and co-pilot. And we're thrilled to welcome Michael Hecht, research scientist, associate director for research management at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's HASAC Observatory. But most importantly, Mike is our guide to MOXIE. We know what having the MOXIE means on Earth. What does it mean on Mars? Mike, congratulations. This is wonderful. What is MOXIE? What have you done, Mike? Good evening to you.
Thanks, John. Thanks for allowing me to talk to your audience today. MOXIE is the way that we will make oxygen on Mars for many things to breathe, for our first astronauts to breathe, and more importantly, for the rockets that might take them from the surface of the planet to who knows where. They have to breathe too, even more than even more oxygen than people breathe. Mars does not have a source of oxygen unless you make it from something else. Fortunately, it has an atmosphere of carbon dioxide. We know here on Earth that carbon dioxide can be turned into oxygen. Trees do that. We can't move a forest to Mars, but we can build a box that does the same thing and turn CO2 into oxygen. MOXIE is a small version of that box. It's a demonstration that will teach us how to build a big one.
The demonstration, if I understand correctly, is on the Perseverance rover that's on the surface of Mars now in the Jezero crater. And your first effort at making oxygen was earlier this year in the springtime. Did that satisfy everybody's dreams, Mike, that moment?
It was thrilling. I don't know how to describe it. You work for years, literally hundreds of people work for years in different aspects of this to make something that worked in the laboratory, and to see that first data come back looking like it had never left the laboratory was so exciting. It was just, it was just thrilling. And indeed, it is behaving as everybody predicted it should, which is, of course, the whole point of doing this.
David?
Is the O2 that it makes identical to the O2 here on Earth, the same O2 we breathe, or are there differences somehow?
The aspect of the oxygen we most care about is how pure it is. You know, the element is the element, but nothing is 100% pure. In the case of oxygen, you know, much like on Earth, the thing that will contaminate it is carbon dioxide. You know, just as if you put a bag over your mouth and eventually you get too much carbon dioxide and you would pass out. We have to keep the carbon dioxide level in the oxygen very low. And we're in an atmosphere that is very thin, but is 100% carbon dioxide. So we monitored very carefully in these experiments how much CO2 might be finding its way in to our oxygen product. So far, very, very little.
What I understand of the mechanics of this is that you're acquiring the atmosphere of Mars, and then you're heating it up in some fashion. Is that correct? And what happens? What is the magic, Mike?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. The magic is a process called electrolysis. And, you know, rather than trying to describe the details of that, it's very similar to the way fuel cells work. And I think many more people are familiar with fuel cells. A fuel cell is like burning two things, but you're not burning them. You're not getting heat out. You're getting electricity out. So you might have a fuel cell where you take hydrogen and oxygen, react them to get electricity. We are doing the same thing with carbon monoxide and oxygen turning into CO2, except we're running it the other way. But the hardware, the technology is almost identical. To combining CO and oxygen to get CO2, or separating CO2 to get CO and oxygen. Same device. You heat up the CO2 very, very hot. You put it against a catalytic surface. You apply a voltage. You do all three of those things. All three are essential, and they all have to be balanced just right. And the carbon dioxide will split into a carbon monoxide molecule and an oxygen atom. The oxygen atom goes through this magic membrane. That's where the magic is. It's a special membrane that only lets oxygen pass and nothing else. And it comes out the other side, finds a dance partner, goes from oxygen atom to O2, which is the form that we breathe, and that comes out the other end. And that's what we're trying to make.
David?
So MOXIe makes about 0.22 pounds per hour, right? And a human, I guess, breathes about 3 pounds of oxygen a day here on Earth, I guess, sitting in a chair maybe. So can you scale MOXIe up to provide oxygen for a crew? How do you scale it up? This is a massive amount of scaling up.
It is. We need to scale it up about – well, to scale up to for a crew isn't actually so hard. It's not so much how much we make a daytime. We're limited by how much power we can get out of that wimpy little power supply on the Perseverance rover. It's 100 watts, and we store up a whole lot of watts in a battery. We run down the battery. We've used the day supply. But if you gave us a power supply that could give us, you know, 1,000 watts continuous, and we will have that someday, even the MOXIe instrument we're flying could keep an astronaut alive. Okay, we have enough for that. Our ambitions are much greater than that. Because we want to create enough oxygen to fill a tank with liquid oxygen to launch a rocket. That will need us to make about 1 to 2 kilograms, an hour. I know I'm going from, you know, pounds to kilograms here. So a few pounds an hour, for a year to fill that tank. We will put this instrument, you know, this device on the surface of Mars almost 2 years before the astronauts arrive. So we'll have plenty of time to fill up that oxygen tank before the crew launches from Earth.
It reminds me of how the Arctic and Antarctic explorers approached their mission. They would put way stations out and have those supplies available for them on their exit and their entrance just in case of emergencies. Do you think about it that way, Mike? Way stations for the future.
Oh, absolutely. There's, you know, there's a whole field of logistics. Logistics in the sense that a trucking company, you know, has a logistics department of how you stage things in the solar system. I mean, this is amazing. Where you put, you know, your gas stations in the solar system and where your depots to store fuel and how you get it from the moon and you get it from the asteroids and where you pick it up. This is a whole science, or a whole engineering discipline. We're one little piece of it, but we're a very immediate piece that will enable, I mentioned before the show started, you know, I have a brand new little granddaughter and maybe we'll enable her to come home from Mars when she's the first astronaut to go there.
Yes, I can hear her saying now, my grandfather made oxygen. Yes, of course. Exactly.
Indeed.
David,
I hope so.
David?
Does MOXIe use the same process that the medical oxygen machines are that you see advertised on television for people with lung problems and they walk around and the thing's making oxygen for them?
Most of those machines, I actually have one at home, most of those machines do something rather different. They're scrubbing the other gases, the carbon dioxide and other gases out of the air, because of course we have plenty of oxygen on Earth. You just have to get rid of the other stuff. So that's a somewhat different process. On Mars, you don't have the oxygen to begin with and you have to make it. It takes a lot more energy to break apart a, you know, carbon dioxide molecule and yank out the oxygen than it does to simply separate the oxygen in our air from the other gases. And that's what those machines do.
A science fiction vision of life on Mars means that it's sub-Martian, underground, because of the dangers of the surface, the meteorites, etc. This oxygen manufacturing, would that be imaginable, scaled up, to provide an underground colony that's sealed in under the surface of Mars? Is that imaginable, Mike?
It certainly is imaginable to supply all the oxygen needs for a sizable colony of people to breathe. That's almost easy compared to what we're trying to do, which is to, you know, fill a tank for a rocket. So let me go back to that number I mentioned, a couple of kilograms an hour. Those a couple of thousand grams an hour. A person is going to use maybe 30 grams an hour. So right away with that system we're imagining building in the near future, you know, we could support, you know, 100 people just with that system.
100 people under the surface of Mars, protected under the surface of Mars. It's everything we want. David, mm-hmm. We've just got less than a minute. If you have a quick question for Mike.
To put it it in context, how long would it take Moxie to fill a scuba tank of oxygen or one of those big green O2 hospital tanks we see on golf carts being rolled around hospitals?
Oh, goodness. I'd have to do some math for that. But again, the Moxie we have now on Mars, where we're operating, you know, if we make we make oxygen at about half the rate that someone would breathe it. Okay. So, if that tank can keep you alive and happy for 8 hours, it might take us 16 hours with our system right now, today on Mars, to make that. If we had a little more power, we could do it.
Michael
without
Hecht,
changing anything else.
Michael Hecht is the principal investigator for the MOXIE experiment on Mars right now, performing beautifully. He's also at the Haystack Observatory of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. David Livingston, Dr. Space. This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBSi on the World with John Batchelor.